This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Harriet Rose on FUBAR Radio.
Pals, 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 we're back. It's Thursday. You're listening to FUBAR Radio and I'm Harriet Rose. Today's show is epic. By epic proportions, epic everywhere, massive, massive, massive. Moss Ken is going to be joining me first on the show. I'm really excited to see him. He's dropping some new music. We're going to be talking about that. Ash Nico's in the building, Alan Raymond. Plus, we've got chats with Wafia and Toby Sunmola coming up later in the show as well. And, of course, my champion of the week this week, which I'm not going to tell you it is, but it's a girl. I'll give you that bit of information. And she's just dropped an EP and I'm really excited about her. Loads to tell you about her a little bit later. But, right, so it's Thursday. It's coming close to December. It's nearly time. Basically, at this point, I've essentially put my out of office on and I'm already finished in my mind. Even though physically I'm still working, I just mentally have checked out. So I thought, let's gas ourselves up. It's Thursday. It's nearly Christmas. It's not nearly Christmas at all, but I just like to bring that in early doors. Money featuring Cardi B is how I would like to start the energy of this show today, because it's going to be a big show. It's going to be a busy show. And I just want you guys at home to feel it.
Look, my bitch is all bad, my niggas all real. I ride in his dick in some big tall heels. Big fat checks, big large bills. Run out, flip like 10 car wheels. Cold ass bitch, I give raw chills. 10 different looks and my looks so kill. I kiss him in the mouth, I feel all grills. Heat in the car, that's meals on wheels. Woo! I was born to flex, yes. Diamonds on my neck. I like boarding jets, I like morning sex. Woo! But nothing in this world that I like more than checks.
Money.
All I really wanna see is the
money.
I don't really need a D, I need the
money.
All a bad bitch need is a
money.
I got bands in the coupe, bustin' out the roof. I got bands in the coupe. Touch me, I'll shoot. Bow, shake a little ass.
Money.
You get a little bag and take it to the store.
Money.
Get a little cash.
Money.
You shake it real fast, you get a little more.
Money.
I got bands in the coupe, bustin' out the roof. I got bands in the coupe, bustin' out the roof. I got a fly, I need a jet. Shit, I need room for my legs. I got a baby. I need some money, yeah. I need teeth for my egg. All y'all bitches in trouble. Grim brass knuckles to scuffle. I heard that Cardi went pop, yeah. They go pop, pop. That's me busting that bubble. I'm designing with the drip. Baby mommy with the clip. Walk out bodies with a bitch. Bring a thotty to the whip. Is she fine or she thick? God damn, walking past the mirror. Ooh, damn, I'm fine. Let a bitch try me. Boom, hammer time. I was born to flex. Diamonds on my neck. I like boarding jets. I like morning sex. But nothing in this world that I like more than checks.
Money.
All I really wanna see is the
money.
I don't really need a D, I need the
money.
All a bad bitch need is the
money.
I got bands in the coupe, busting out the roof. I got bands in the coupe. Touch me, I'll shoot. Bow, shake a little ass.
Money.
You get a little bag and take it to the store.
Money.
Get a little cash.
Money.
You shake it real fast, you get a little more.
Money.
I got bands in the coupe. Bustin' out the roof. I got bands in the coupe. Touch me, I'll shoot. Bitch, I'll pop or you pop. Bitch, I'll pop or whoever. You know who popped the most shit? The people who shit not together. You know that Cardi a freak. All my pajamas is leather. Bitch, I'll black on your ass. Wakanda forever. Sweet like a honey bun, spit like a tummy gun. Roll your one on one. Come get your mommy some Cardi. Yeah, tip top, bitch. Kiss the ring and kick rocks, sis. Jump it down, back it up. Ooh, ayy. Make that nigga put down 2K. I like my niggas dark like Deuce. He gonna eat this ass like soup. I was born to flex. Diamonds on my neck. I like boarding jets. I like morning sex. But nothing in this world that I like more than culture. All I really wanna see is the
money.
I don't really need a D, I need the
money.
All a bad bitch need is a
KKC.
Woo!
Money. 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 Money.
We all need it, Cardi. You're just spitting the truth there, babe. So that's Money. Cardi B really is back. I know I've played that on the show recently, but it just really gasses me up. I sometimes play it when I'm working out. It just makes me feel excited and fun. Look, can you tell that I'm really excited and fun by my voice? Is anyone else feeling really stressed by Black Friday, Cyber Sunday, Cyber Monday, Sunday Monday, Tuesday Wednesday? I am so stressed because I want to get all the deals and I feel like everyone else is going to get the deals. Even being on this show is stressing me out because I'm worried, what are people buying that I could be buying right now if I wasn't on air? I don't know. I might have lost it. I might never know what everyone else has bought. Anyway, let's get back to the music. If you are part of Black Friday, do remember to unsubscribe to all those emails afterwards, because you do not want to keep receiving information from those people. So this track I was going to play last week, but we didn't have time because it was such a jam-packed show. Molly Rainford, it's a track called I Like You. So who'd have thunk it? She was actually on Britain's Got Talent at 11. Honestly, what are these people doing at 11? I was literally barely cognitive at 11. I don't know what on earth. Imagine going on Britain's Got Talent at 11. Crazy. But this is a certified banger. It's got quite a clunky but a very addictive opening, and I'm really into it. She's also going to be supporting Harvey. How do you say that? Harvey. It's just Harvey, isn't it? But I want to say Harvey because that's how it's spelt. H-R-V-Y, alongside Four of Diamonds, who we've had on the show. Those mega babes. They're going to be performing at the London Apollo on the 16th of December. This is just basically, there is, and I know I keep saying it, boring old Harriet, but there is so much incredible pop music coming out at the moment. It's unbelievable. And this is a pure pop record that I think everybody should hear. I posted it on my playlist the other day. By the way, if you don't subscribe already, it's on Apple Music. Plug, 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 plug. It's called That New Playlist. You can get all my favourite songs on there. This is I Like You by Molly Rainford. Go and check her out. She's up and coming. She's very, very new, although she has apparently been in the music industry since she was 11. So she's been a busy girl. But I'm really excited about this girl and looking forward to seeing what's going to come from her. And if you want to check her out, go and see Harvey and Four of Diamonds on the 16th of December.
Come on, baby, tell me how you feel. Come on, baby, tell me how you feel. Till I don't need to guess, keep my cards to my chest. Come on, baby, tell me how you feel. Boy, I know you give me butterflies when I catch you looking at me on the sly. We got something, I'm sure. What you waiting for? Come on, baby, tell me how you feel. Oh, what you do to me? Get low. When you're not here with me, you gotta be. Oh, do you think of me? Are you into me? Cause I la 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 like you. La 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 like you. I like you. La 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 like you. I like you. Boy, you know you got me in a daze. I'm counting all the freckles on your face. It's hard to move slow when you already know. Boy, you make me feel some kind of way. What you do to me? Get low. When you're not here with me, you gotta be. Oh, do you think of me? Are you into me? Cause I la 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 like you. La 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 like you. I like you. La 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 like you. La 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 like you. I like you. La 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 like you. I like you. Sick of getting my hopes up. No, I never had much love. Tell me what you think of us, cause you got me going crazy. What you do to me, get low. When you're not here with me, you gotta be. Oh, do you think of me? Are you into me? Cause I la 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 like you. La 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 like you. Yeah. I like you. La 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 la. La 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 la
Bamford, I like you. She likes you. Just listen, for God's sake. Weirdly, I've just gone on her Instagram and it's her birthday today or yesterday, depending on, you know, whether it was a throwback post. Happy birthday, Molly. And that's a very good song. Looking forward to what you bring next for us. Really excited about her. Go and check her out. Now, late to the party, I know, but it's just because we've been so busy and I haven't had a chance to play this song. But I'm going to play King Princess Pussy Is God before Mos Kenna comes in. The video for this has got very strong Kanye West Bound 2 vibes about it, but with a very gay twist on it. It features its very own rainbow in there. So go and check it out. It's very nice. As always, King Princess smashing it vocally, lyrically, and also the visuals are always great. It's the first release since her June debut EP, Make My Bed, co-written by her real-life girlfriend, actually, Amanda Stenberg, which I didn't realise that she did that stuff. So maybe she's getting into music now. Who knows? Maybe she'll release an EP. Debut album's on the way. It's already written, and it's being worked on as we speak. She's described it as a finished thought. It's a lot more about I watched an interview with her when she chatted about it, and she was saying it's a lot more about issues and situations wider than her own experience. So she's going to be talking about other people and what they go through within her sort of realm of existence. So things that relate to her and things that have you know, touched her life or whatever, but not necessarily her own stories. Obviously some of her own stories in there as well. But this is a track called Pussy Is God. Everyone lost their minds when she dropped this because I feel like it's such a... It's a statement putting the word pussy in a song anyway, but it just makes sense with her. And I'm excited to see what happens with this album. Obviously signed to Mark Ronson's record label, the production is going to be great. We know that it's going to tick the boxes. So let's have a listen to it. I'm sure you've heard it already. If you haven't listened to much of King Princess, do go back in the archives and have a listen, because she's fantastic. And this is Pussy Is God.
Your pussy is God and I love it. Gonna kiss me real hard, make me want it. I think star signs mean nothing, but I know you feel right, so I'm coming. Gets hard when you're getting up, knocked down from some other love, but their best wasn't good enough, and you're number one to me. You're extra special, something else, or maybe it's you. And I've been looking for something I want, and baby, it's you. Your pussy is God, and you know I think you're so cute when you get high. Never been good at this nice shit, but I could try if you like it. Gets hot when you give a fuck, get knocked down from some other love, but their best wasn't good enough, and you're number one. Your pussy is God and I'm falling. We're on the same wave when we're talking. I've never been played in a good match, but I win when I hit that. I'm cool if you love me up, knocked down from some other love, but their best wasn't good enough, and you're better off with me. You're extra special, something else, or maybe it's you. I've been looking for something I want, and baby, it's you. Oh, it's you.
up? This is Will I Am, and you're listening to Harriet Rose on FUBAR Radio.
Featuring Marina and the Diamonds, Clean Bandit. Very exciting. Moss Ken is here.
How's it going?
Okay, I'm just being told that he's going to have to leave the building. That's what his manager's just said. Just saying, no, I'm joking. I'm just finding out because it's very exciting in the studio today. There's a special thing coming out tomorrow / tonight. Like,
yeah.
Straight after the show, isn't it?
Yes,
coming out.
Yes.
One Plus One.
Yes.
Is your new EP.
Yeah.
And we're not allowed to play. We were just finding out in the minute, in the seconds before the show, what we were allowed to play today. So Silhouette's already dropped.
Yes, it has, yeah.
Beautiful song. Very. Thank you. All your songs are beautiful. We met very recently when you did MTV Push.
We did, yes.
And I talked about your falsetto.
Yes.
Which is mind blowing. It's crazy. Like, and I know we've had a little chat about this, but tell me a little bit about when you discovered the falsetto when you were first started singing.
I mean, I've always had kind of a higher pitched voice. Even my speaking voice isn't very low.
But it's not high, though.
It's not high, but I just don't really know. I've just always had a kind of a good range, and then I kind of just worked on it. I've always had singing lessons, so we just kind of worked on it through the difficult voice breaking age.
Yes.
And just kind of carried on, and luckily, I guess it could be genetic. I don't know.
Well, it's a weird, because you know Freddie Mercury. You know he had quite buck teeth.
Yes.
He wouldn't change his teeth just in case. It changed his voice.
Yeah, you never really know.
Because it might be something like, you know, the way your jaw is made or your throat. I don't know how singing works, but I'm not going to embarrass myself too much.
Yeah.
But in that sense, it kind of is like it's exciting as well as being a bit scary that you've got this weapon.
I think, you know, you have to, learning to trust your voice is something that you have to kind of learn, you know. You kind of just got to kind of have faith that it's always going to be there. And
I mean, you go really high, babe.
Yeah.
It's like crazy high. Yeah. And I've now heard it like in real life, not one to one. I didn't have a 1-to-1 performance. Not yet, anyway.
Just me and you in your living room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that time I forced you to come over and stand and sing in front of me, and then I made you leave. But there was no fear in your face. I mean, I know that sounds stupid, but because you've obviously performed loads and you know it's going to be there, but even... there's your whole everything about you is calm and ready to hit the highest note on earth.
Yeah, I guess that just comes with experience, I guess. I mean, I'm always a bit nervous, because nerves are such a good thing. Because once that adrenaline's going through you, you kind of have to forget everything else that's ever happened and just focus on the moment, you know. So it's kind of good in that way.
Does that happen, or do you ever have a thing where you suddenly are jolted back to reality because you see something weird in the audience or something?
That's not happened yet. I'm always kind of just like in my own world, just trying to be like, just release everything, let it go, just do what you got to do.
Do what you're there for.
Yeah, exactly.
Sing those notes.
Exactly.
So tell us a bit about Silhouette. It's a very beautiful song.
Thank
and
you.
It's the first release from One Plus One. Is it I'm pronouncing it right?
Yeah,
One Plus One.
Yeah.
There's some Spanish guitar in there.
There is.
Absolutely loving that. Lots of interesting samples and synths. What made you drop this one first?
It just kind of felt very natural. It was kind of it was probably the first one I actually wrote. So in my mind, it was always the front runner of the order.
Yeah,
the
which is weird, because sometimes it works the complete opposite way, doesn't
it? Yeah, exactly. But it just felt very natural to have this be the first one. And I kind of felt like it was a nice little ease into it. And it's kind of quite simple in the verses and stuff. So it was kind of following on from Square One, which was my first single off the last one.
My favourite song?
Oh, unreal.
I love Square One so much.
So, yeah.
I remember when I was hosting MTV Push, and I found out that you were going to be there, and I was like, oh my God, I love Square One so much. It's one of those songs that is very easy to listen to accidentally, like 5 times in a row.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, a few people have said that.
It's very difficult to get annoyed by it.
Yeah, I hope so.
Well, some songs I love, but they're so annoying if you listen to them more than once in a row.
Yeah.
But Square One has just got that, I don't know, everything about it. Production-wise, what's the sort of story of your production? Because it's interesting production. It's like involving. It's very sort of, it grabs you.
Yep.
It's very addictive in certain songs as well.
Yep.
What's your story behind production?
Well, with production, I always try and make sure that it's very kind of immersive.
Yes, that's the word I wanted.
Yeah, I can't, you know, music for me, the way I like to consume music, or, you know, it just feels like I want it to be just such an experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so in some of the songs, it's kind of very big, atmospheric, and just music that you can really sink into, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So with production, I like to kind of... There's a fine balance as well, though. With songs like Square One and things like that, you kind of want the vocal to be very at the forefront of everything.
Mm.
So it's kind of like a running theme. I always try and make sure the vocal is very forward and at the front of the tune, you know. And so it's never lost, because it's such a unique little thing.
Yeah, it's it's your niche.
Yes.
It's what you'd put on the top of your CV.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Right at the top, next to going to the theatre, you know, reading.
Yes, doing stuff for charity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
reading at least one book a week.
Oh, absolutely.
Irrelevant if it's Beano, it's still a book. I can definitely feel that vibe. And so we've heard Silhouette, and this time in a few hours, we're going to be able to hear the whole thing. But let's talk through the EP. You've got Touch, Back Again, Ain't the Same and Better Off.
Yes.
Five tracks. How are you feeling about this one? Because obviously the other one wasn't that long ago.
Yes.
So it's like, is it a next stage for you? Are you feeling like you're in the same mindset? Could it have been an album?
It definitely feels like a natural progression from the last stuff that I put out. I feel like all of my music is very revealing, but this is kind of, for me, just revealing in a different way, because it's about a situation between me and one other person, you know, right. One plus one. It's like, so it's about very specific situations. So
do they know?
They do. They do know.
Is it a good thing?
Yeah,
it is. Okay.
Well, I mean, I think one person doesn't know. But they're going to find out.
I like that. I love the idea of finding out that you're either being bitched about or being nicely spoken of in a song. I love it.
I think there's room for it. I think you could do both.
Yeah, because obviously you could feel one thing in a moment, and then once you've got it out into a song, you're fine about it.
Yeah.
You're chill.
There's a song on there called Ain't the Same, and if you looked at the surface of the lyrics, you'd probably assume it was about a love interest, but it's actually not. And when I talk about, and it's a shame that our loving ain't the same, it's just, you know, like when you love someone, but in a different way,
yeah.
And then when the relationship changes, it's just kind of about that, really. So it's not all about, you know, like an actual relationship with a girlfriend.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because the other side of it is, because I know we had Grace Carter on the show recently, and she did a song, she had a similar thing, because she wrote a song about her dad that everyone perceived was about a lover.
Exactly.
And it's that emotion of, like, you can feel as strongly, love is different in every avenue.
Yeah.
But definitely. It actually, in like, scrapping all that away, it's the same thing.
I think because it makes it kind of very universally relatable when they think it is about a relationship with, you know, a boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever. But actually, you know, it kind of when it's about, maybe like when it was about her dad and stuff like that, like you can love people in so many different ways that just using the word love doesn't have to be with all those connotations. It could be just another type of relationship.
And I guess your fans will just take what they need to from it as well, won't they?
And that's kind of the beauty of it. That's what I want. I want people to be able to take something from it.
Very exciting time. You're currently, well, you're doing some dates with Jess Glynn and Notes.
I am, yes. So, yeah, I'm on the UK
Jess Glynn Arena Tour.
Arena Tour. Always in between tour, hashtag.
Arena. That's pretty intense, babe. That's massive.
So that's a bit crazy.
Brighton last night,
Brighton
Tuesday,
last night.
London, right?
Yes, on Tuesday it was London O2 Arena. No,
how was
deal,
that?
No big deal.
Literally, what?
Just playing
the fuck.
Very small rooms at the moment. Very small rooms.
Yeah, just keeping it low key.
Yeah,
I don't want anyone to hear your music.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just kind of a bit crazy because the last headline show that I did was like 200 people. And then we got the call from Jess and it was like, okay, well, yeah.
Small panic attack and on we go.
Exactly. So then, you know, being able to play like 20,000 people plus or whatever.
What? That's so weird. That makes me feel panicky. Because 200 to 200,000 is 20,000 is like, that's a big...
That is a few decimal point moving thing.
But it's the kind of decimals that you want to be going to. You don't want to be going back decimals.
Exactly.
You want to be going for those decimals.
I know that after this tour, I'm going to be like, okay, what now?
Yeah, you're going to be like, well, I'm not playing there. It's not got 20,000 people in it.
Yeah. Exactly.
How has she been? Have you been able to spend any time with her during the tour?
She's lovely. She's really nice. You know, we spoke and it was kind of, I just wanted to get across my gratitude to her.
Yes, because it's a big platform for you.
Huge, you know, and I think it's just so exciting. And I really hope that one day I will be able to pass that baton over to someone else to support. You know what I mean? Like, I can't wait for that day when I can be like, oh my God, I remember being you.
Yeah. And also, it's nice that your mindset is like that, because that's how you need to be in this industry.
Yeah.
You kind of need to give back, because otherwise, if you don't give back, then who's going to give back to you? And it's kind of like a weird,
I just think that the music industry should be more about helping people, because there's room for everyone. There really is. Do you know what I mean? I was just talking today actually about that whole like Nicki Minaj and Cardi B kind of pitting people up against each other.
But such a strange
thing.
There
can be more than just one black female rapper. There actually can, and everyone's acting like there's only one spot and only one person can fill it, and it's like, come on. Like,
I also think, like, to an extent in those scenarios, it's a lot to do with the people around them and the gassing up of every, like, when you look at the online stuff, I'm like, you could like sneeze and someone's like, you hate Cardi Cardi B.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just like, whoa, wait.
And like, you have to be on one person's team or the other. I like them both for different reasons.
I like them both also for different reasons.
Do you know what I mean? They make different music and that's cool.
Their music is very different.
It is. We all know that Nicki's pen is just better and that she writes her own stuff.
Yes,
blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
And that's why,
she's
like
the original person who...
Yeah.
But also, she's done just as many features
exactly,
as Cardi.
Exactly. And then Cardi's just like... She knows the purpose of her music is just music to listen to in the club and get turned up to. So that's, she knows that's the point of her. She's not pretending to be anything deeper than that, which
no.
is really cool.
I also think... Listen, I'm all into conspiracy theories. Maybe this is some deep conspiracy and they're just going to bang out a duet like
yes.
in a year and we're all going to be like, what?
This is going to be like, maybe they are just best friends. This is all a big stunt and we're all being played.
Yeah, we're being played, babe.
Listen, population.
Listen, we got it.
We're being played.
We're being played. We've got it. So obviously loads going on. You're touring. You're about to drop your EP. Have you been playing it while you've been performing?
Yes, I have. I've been playing one track, which is the single, which is out today, obviously. It's all out today. But the next single that we're pushing is called Touch, and I've been singing that as part of my set.
And what's people been saying?
Yeah, really good reaction. Really good reaction. I mean, everything that I get on Instagram, people sending me their little stories of it and everything. Yeah, it's just so cool.
That's so weird, isn't it? Because it's like, oh, they're singing my song.
My song that's not even out.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
I'm like,
God.
Oh, there's these people singing these lyrics and this is not even out yet. It's just amazing.
That's crazy. Yeah. Well, I'm really excited. I've already heard it, I'm not going to lie, because I'm VIP.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm really excited for everyone else to hear it. It's really great. What you're doing is great and also so different from everybody else.
That is a compliment.
Well, it's true, because thank who else is goodness. Making music like yours right now? Nobody. And I'm excited to see where it goes and what becomes
Absolutely.
Of it.
Absolutely.
What becomes of this?
What's going to become of you?
200 to 20,000 man.
Woo!
We're going to play Silhouette now.
Awesome.
Oh, actually, girls in the studio, there's an error on my Silhouette track. Can you just come and have a look at it?
What?
What? Because I know I'm not allowed to play it because I've got two dangling right here that I could play, but I'm not going to. Before you go, I know this, but I don't know if anyone at home knows this. You're a big Amy Winehouse
huge,
fan. You've got
huge.
An Amy Winehouse tattoo.
Yes, I have.
I love Amy Winehouse too, and she affected me greatly with her music. But I wanted to just hear from the horse's mouth what it is about her that you love so much.
It was her ultimate honesty, heart on sleeve, kind of unapologetic attitude. And I feel like she just brought real artistry back and real writing and real heartfelt music. You know, so I just, that is immediately what I latched onto. And
you just connected with her.
Yeah.
And obviously you connect with the music anyway, because it's just, you can't not really, but.
Yeah, I could just really, even at a young age when I couldn't really understand what she was, what her lyrics were, I just knew that on an emotional level I just got whatever it was she was saying. And with the music, I don't know, I can't describe it, but it's very kind of like, just, she's just a very spiritual experience for me.
Yeah, that's so beautiful, because I just feel the same. That's why I like talking to you about
yeah,
it.
Definitely.
Right, we've got to wrap now because you've got to go.
Ooh.
I can't have you all day.
Ugh.
He's playing for 20,000 people all the time.
Sorry,
I can't keep
get
this guy down. but thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Hopefully come see you in a few weeks,
yes,
a few months,
definitely.
And then when you've dropped this EP, and maybe there's going to be another EP. I mean, I don't know. The world is your oyster, Moss Kenner. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Silhouette. Do you want to introduce it for us, actually? Because I sound rubbish.
Sure. My name is Moss Kenner, and this is my first single of my new EP, Silhouette.
Silhouette, I'm wrong. What
Nico's here. I've been so excited to have you in the studio.
Thank you so much for having me.
No, I think you're really amazing.
Oh gosh.
I don't want to make it creepy in here, but I'm going to make it creepy. I think you're really great.
Yeah, I think you should make it creepier.
Okay, how can we creep it up?
I don't know.
Well, I'm just going to let you know I'm going to work on that for the next 15 minutes.
All right.
How are you feeling? Because obviously the EP and the No Brainer is out tomorrow.
I know. I'm shitting my pants, like literally as we speak.
Well, we're going to be playing it today, which I'm so excited about because nobody's really heard it.
Sick. I'm so excited. Yeah.
It's a banger, babe. You don't need to be scared.
It's my baby. It's like my child. I've been working on this EP all year, and it feels like the first thing that I've put out there really feels like mine. So
it's called the Unlikable EP.
Yes.
And we're going to be able to get it all tomorrow. But I believe No Brainer is the only one that we've never heard before.
Yes, indeedy.
Which I love the way you've done that, because it's kind of like builds the excitement for it, and then it's like the project is finally just in place, you know.
All unleashed.
I wanted to kick off this interview by just touching on something that I'm really interested, intrigued, excited by, is how the fuck do you eat carrots with your toes?
Oh, did you see my tweet yesterday?
Oh, I'm a straight stalker, yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Straight up stalker.
I love that. Yeah, you just, I mean, I'm pretty flexible.
Are you?
Wink, wink. I did gymnastics when I was a child.
Oh, did you? Did you? The hobby horse, I've heard, is quite a dangerous...
What the fuck is that?
The thing that you jump over that looks
like...
Oh,
the vault. I guess you guys maybe call it something different here.
Yeah, my girlfriend used to do it, and she told me many horror stories about it.
Oh, yeah, that's a bad one. I mean, there are horror stories about all of the things in gymnastics. Mm-hmm. There are many ways to hurt yourself. But I used to do rhythmic gymnastics, which is...
Wow.
...focuses on flexibility, so I'm pretty flexible. and I... You know, you just put those carrots between the big toe and the one after it, the second toe, and you just...
What is that called?
The
other one.
The middle toe, my middle toe.
Yeah.
You can use it to swear if you have...
See, you are flexible. That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm pretty flexible.
How do the carrots taste when they come out your toes?
Better. Better, honestly.
I should try
it. Honestly, better. The more creative ways you eat carrots, the tastier they become. That sense didn't make sense, but you understand what I mean.
It made total sense to me.
Yeah. The more creative you get. Oh my God, there's a bag of carrots.
Oh my God, we've got carrots.
Okay.
Let's see.
Do you want me to take my shoes off?
Yeah, I think you should.
Okay.
Shall I do it as well?
Yeah, you might as well.
That is a fucking big carrot though, babe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to try it?
Yeah, I'm
so down.
Should
I snap it in half?
Oh, gosh. No, no. No, wait. Is there a thinner one, maybe?
Oh, look. There's a small one.
Yeah, that one I'll eat. I'll straight up eat with my toes right now.
Oh, my God. Okay. Do you mind that I've touched it?
I honestly touch it more.
That's
let's creep it up.
I've creeped it. I've just done something really creepy to camera.
My toenails are so gross.
Don't worry. It's fine. Shall I take my shoes? Will it make you feel better if I take my shoes off as well?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to take my shoes off as well.
Thank you.
I'm not going to try. Well, I will try, actually.
My toenails are so gross. I'm actually disgusting.
Mine are gross as well. I've got half nail varnish, green nail varnish on. Okay, let's go. Oh my God, you're doing it. Currently, Ash Nico is eating a carrot with her toe. Oh my God, I love you so much. I'm going to just touch the carrot with my toe and then realise I can't do it. I'm disgusting. You're amazing. Oh my God, get that vitamin D, C, A, whatever's in there. You're incredible. Thank you so much for doing that. I didn't even know that was going to do that. I didn't even know that was going to happen then. Back to the EP, because I've realised my mind can't be blown any more than it already has. So... Invitation.
I will do anything. This is my problem. I'll do anything.
Well, I know that because you performed Invitation whilst eating many, many Scotch bonnet chilies.
Yeah.
That made me have a bit of a panic attack because I was so worried about you, but you were fine.
I'm just chomping into the mic. I'm sorry. I just Please do.
I'm enjoying it. It's like ASMR, that thing that people do.
Oh my God, I love ASMR.
Do some ASMR with it.
I honestly could get off the ASMR.
Are you serious? It makes me feel really weird.
I just love when people eat really crunchy foods.
Oh, okay. So
and, like, talk really soft to me.
Okay. shall I do that now? Yeah. Will that make the interview calmer?
Shall we make the entire interview ASMR friendly?
I'm actually super into that noise.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that ASMR as well?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did we just make ASMR?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I have a boner. I don't really.
You'd better do. Otherwise that's really offensive. Okay. So you performed Invitation. I basically can't pick a favourite on the EP, but I really love Invitation for what it represents for me in when I heard it.
Thank you.
I'm just standing here with one shoe on holding my sock and I feel very weird.
Yeah, I have one.
You're so bendy.
Yeah, I'm pretty bendy.
But I wanted to talk about Invitation because I think it's important for everybody to hear this song. And I wanted to hear from your perspective kind of what it was about. And I know you said you feel the power is removed from you sometimes when you've like kind of when men are intimidating or because they're obviously physically bigger sometimes and things like that. And this song was your way of sort of fighting back against that and against what that represents. And I just wanted to hear from you kind of your thoughts behind Invitation.
Yeah, Invitation is one of my favorite songs on the EP because of what it means to me and because it's a very powerful, like it's a very angsty song. So when I am singing it, I feel a release of anger because otherwise I'd just fight everyone in the street.
Which is...
And I'm not very strong.
No,
so
right,
it's
okay.
I need a release in some way. So I made that song. But yeah, I'm just really, really fucking sick and tired of men objectifying me and making me feel like a piece of meat on the street.
The thing is, it happens, really a vibe. And I definitely, for me personally, I definitely ignore it.
Yeah.
And then I suddenly go like, what? Why am I ignoring the fact that you've just like
Conditioned ourselves to think it's not a big deal. But actually, if you think about it, it's gross. The other day, like... I realized I developed quite early. I was like 12 with big, big old titties.
And I still haven't developed, so I'm waiting on that one still.
I will pray for you. small titties are great.
Awesome. They're awesome.
All the titties. Big, I love them all.
Big, small, medium,
all
fine.
I love them all. Anyways. But yeah, I'm 12 years old with tits and old men are like... talking like you don't even realize it, like even like men in my family were like, oh, she's developed, like fuck off, disgusting.
That
creepy
is rank.
Uncle. It's just and because we're so young when it starts, we don't even realize it's so disgusting.
And you also kind of have this weird backwards thing when you're younger. I found that I was like, wait, am I not what I'm meant to be if people aren't doing that? Because it's like, well, you're kind of taught that, oh, well, if you're good looking, you're going to get wolf whistled by a builder.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, oh, well, wait, well, am I not good looking if they don't? And it's like, that's a horrible even thought to think.
Yeah, exactly. I got in a huge, like, screaming fight with my mom over that exact point. She was like, honestly, I'm flattered. And I'm like, Mom, shut the fuck up, okay? They should not be doing that. They should not. It's like, I don't know. Like, why does everything have to be about my body? Like, I have a brain, you stupid Neanderthals.
I agree.
Anyways.
I don't have a brain, but the body's there and I don't want you to use it as at your will. But I think the EP is beautiful and I'm really excited for you and what's going to happen. I think you're really, really talented and I think...
Oh, gosh.
Seriously, I think, like, as an artist, as a rapper, as a singer, you've got a beautiful... How the fuck you sang with a Scotch bonnet in your mouth and were still in tune? I have no idea. But listen, you've got a thing that I don't have. But I kind of wanted to talk it through, like, what's the next step for you in terms of music? Because you're going to release this EP. It's like a closing of a book, is it? Or is it? Do you feel like it's the opening of the next chapter? How does it kind of feel in your mind?
It feels like a stepping stone to the music that I really want to be making. And I mean, it is. It is the music that I want to be making.
Yeah.
But I've spent... So I moved to London. I, like, started my journey, my, like... moving to the big city, wanting to strike it big journey at 18. So it's been 4 years now. And I was like, for a while I was just stressing myself out, like, oh, I'm getting older. Like, I should be making it by now. Well, everyone else is making it. Like, what am I doing wrong? And I just putting loads of pressure on myself. But really and truly, trust the process, baby girl. It'll work out.
And that's where No Brainer comes from, right?
Yeah, you need to give yourself time to grow as an artist and to become the artist that you want to be. Otherwise, if I was putting out music at 18, it would have been shit.
Yes, and that's the key to remember. I think Mae Muller put up an Instagram the other day. She's another artist. Mm-hmm. And she wrote, I'm just constantly looking. Sometimes I just compare myself. And we all do that. Mm-hmm. You all compare yourself. And it's so good to have that power of be like, it doesn't matter how old I am or what I'm doing or where I am.
Fuck off. And the systems that tell you that you have to be a certain age to make it as a woman in the music industry can suck my fucking clitoris. Thank
yes, you. They can.
But not really suck my clitoris.
No, yeah. Not now. Just not ever.
As a metaphor.
Yeah, just metaphorically only, just to be clear on that one. Yeah. Just making sure no one gets the wrong idea there. Yeah, because it's a weird... I mean, I guess we... As well, you've grown up with like the Britney Spears and the kind of like when it was. And do you know what? If you want to sexualize your own body, you absolutely can. I don't know if you saw recently Piers Morgan, who's a dick.
God.
Was saying that Little Mix were awful for being wearing revealing clothing, and Ariana Grande was like,
"Can I kill Piers Morgan?"
I mean, legally, I'm going to say no, but
okay, thank you.
Metaphorically, I don't know.
Yeah,
if that, do you know what I mean? He's you will so go to jail.
He's so disgusting.
I think he just needs someone to sit down and be like, Piers, because sometimes he says stuff
castration.
And I'm like, you're a normal person, and he says things I'm like, oh, you're normal, and then he says things like this and I'm like, it's so strange how a white middle class man can think that he has got the right to say things about
that can speak on issues that absolutely do not affect him at all.
Yeah.
So, oh my God, I hate that man. Yeah. Literally, he deserves castration.
And he will, because Ariana Grande, who is obviously global megastar, was like, hey, Piers, fuck off, which was amazing.
Yeah.
Which I really kind of vibed with that, and I wanted to get your opinion. I don't know if you saw it, but...
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, he can fuck off.
Yes.
And I feel like he's a dying breed, and I can't wait for people like him to die. just to die out. So that's exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just a really exciting time for women who are saying... Because I've always been told that I'm too loud and I'm too aggressive because my personality is loud, mm-hmm. therefore people see it as aggressive. Mm-hmm. And I've always been taught... And I want to make sure that when I have kids or kids around me know that being a girl and being assertive and being having your own opinions doesn't mean you're aggressive.
Exactly. I had a situation the other day. I was in a restaurant. And I was ordering takeaway, and the guy who was the guy at the cash register.
Yeah.
I've forgotten English, actually.
Cashier.
Yeah, cashier. he got my order wrong, and I was like, excuse me, this is the wrong order. Can I have the right order? And he was like, whoa, babes, calm down, chill out. You need to calm down. And I was like, I literally just talked to you assertively. I cannot believe you're telling
me
to calm down right now.
How much do you want to hurt people when they say, calm down?
I swear, if... Oh, God, no.
Relax is worse, though. Actually, relax. Because I do it to other people if I want to piss them off. I'm like, you need to relax.
Babes, relax.
Relax, babes. I think it's a weird thing that we're taught. It's like you have to kind of be ladylike and you have to be tick these boxes to appeal to men.
No, thank you.
No, thanks.
Like, it's just so much energy. Like, why would you spend that much energy making yourself, like, palatable to someone else? Like, just be, like, just make yourself happy, for fuck's sake.
And I think that's happening now. Girls are taking that vibe and doing that.
Yeah, it's hard enough to love yourself. I don't need to go out of my way to make you love me.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, all the words that are coming out your mouth, poetic.
Thank you.
I'm a massive Halloween fan.
Halloweeny.
No, I'm a massive Halloween fan. Oh. So I was, as in like okay. the holiday.
Okay, and you love Halloween.
Halloweeny, like, because Oscar produced it and was the pumpkin man, right?
Yeah, and my friend Henry Dean, who's outside, he did the music video. And he also did the music video for No Brainer, which comes out tomorrow.
Big up Henry, because it's a sick music video. It ticks every box, because I'm obsessed with horror and I'm obsessed with Halloween. Okay. And the track itself, again, like, it's a good, enjoyable, saying things that people find uncomfortable, which is what I enjoy.
Like what?
Like, people might find licking bum holes uncomfortable, but listen, I like that because it's like...
But the sensation itself is comfortable.
I'm obsessed with you. But I just love, everything about it was very me to a T. And it's not on the EP, but if you haven't gone and checked it out, guys, you need to go and check it out. Yeah. It's visually very beautiful. And the track itself is just everything and more. Lyrically, where do you kind of go when you're writing your songs? Do you have to be in a certain place, or can it be any day, anytime?
Well, me and Oscar wrote Halloweeny together, and it was just, every time me and Oscar link up, it is a hilarious time.
Isn't he one of the best people on earth? He's been on the show quite recently. And
he's the sweetest boy on earth.
Yeah.
He's just good. He's just a really good guy.
His speaking voice is one of the best speaking voices on earth. I've also told him he needs to become a voiceover person.
Yeah, he needs to read audiobooks.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, I want him to narrate Harry Potter.
I was literally just going to say that.
Yeah.
Because I'm currently listening to Stephen Fry do it.
And oh my God, so am I!
Yes.
Which one are you listening
to?
I'm on Goblet of Fire.
Oh, you're ahead of me. Okay. Yeah. But now I'm not able to sleep because I usually listen before I go to bed and I'm too excited. So now I'm not sleeping.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I get that.
It's a stressful time. But anyway, Oscar's going to become a audible, you know, narrator, and that'll be great. Yeah. But when you guys get in the studio, it's magic, is it?
Yeah, we are... Like, I'm not even going to lie, we're just really funny.
Yeah, okay. The vibes are there, the comedy's there.
We're just two hilarious dudes just going for it. So when we came up with the "she'll never eat the butt like me" line, we just looked each other in the eyes and just laughed for like 15 minutes.
Yeah, the funny thing about it is, because it's quite graphic, but I want to do nothing more than sing along. Do you know what I mean?
Perfect.
And I think that's what you do, is you merge the ridiculous, sometimes the obscene, sometimes the funny, sometimes the weird, and you make it normal.
Yeah, my goal is to just make a whole crowd of people sing about eating butt.
Yes. Was that always, in fact, is this your whole career just come up to this moment?
Yeah. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do now that you've got people saying that?
I'm retiring. I'm moving to Florida.
Yes.
And I'm going to start golfing.
Get some sliders.
Yeah, I'm going to buy about 80,000 dildos.
Yes.
And live in Florida.
And just have a wall-to-wall room where they're just on the wall.
Yeah. Perfect. And I'll have like one of those ladders that they have in a library.
Exactly that. Yeah. Exactly that. So you can just swish across the room and be like, excuse me, and then swish.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of swishing.
Yeah. Loads.
So that's a shame, because I did think you were good, but...
Yeah, no, I'm retiring.
I do really like the vibe of what you're doing, so I'm not going to, like, tell you off for retiring, because it sounds awesome.
Thank you.
But seriously, the Unlikable EP is coming tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
I'm so excited for you, and I'm excited for myself. I'm excited for everyone else. I'm just excited. By the way, how is the UK treating you?
Nice.
Are we okay?
Yeah.
You've been here 3 years, so...
4 years.
4 years.
Yeah. You guys are good. I'm a big fan. It's a good place for me because I'm very cynical and I can't stand American optimism, so...
Oh my God, I find it so weird.
Yeah. I can't stand it. I cannot stand it. So it's a good place for me.
Because you like passive-aggressive kind of... like when someone says, how's your day? And you're like, well, not great. And I'm going to tell you why. Because it's too weird. When I went to LA, I asked someone how their day was and they were like, it's awesome. And I was like, no, it isn't.
Yeah.
I'm so stressed out by what we're doing. Why are you not stressed? You're freaking me out because you're not stressed.
Yeah. I can't stand it.
Whereas here, we're pessimistic about everything.
I don't need optimism, okay? The earth is crumbling. We have about 12 more years of fresh breathing air. Honestly,
let's use it wisely.
There's nothing to be optimistic about. Let's use it wisely and be pessimists.
And talk about butts.
And talk about butts. And retire to Florida.
Retire to Florida. Talk to people about licking butts. And
exactly.
Have a wall of dildos.
Exactly.
So it's all very exciting for you right now. Everything's like in the motion to get you where you want to go, which is what No Brainer is about. No Brainer is about you letting go of what other people think and knowing that you're going to succeed whatever happens, right?
So on a deep level.
Oh my god.
No ASMR. Brainer. Yeah, it's smart. No Brainer. I like just got out of a relationship and I was in the studio like crying my tits off and I was
are, as we've known, big, so yeah, it was a lot of crying.
Yeah, and I was like, I'm so sad. I'm so sad. I miss my ex. And then I was like, wait, bitch, because I have four different personalities, so we were all chatting.
Okay.
And two of the other personalities were like, bitch, you need to shut the fuck up, because guess what? Now you are a free agent. You can do whatever the fuck you want. You can fuck whoever the fuck you want. You can
lick butts anywhere.
You can lick butts. You can do whatever you want. Like, who the fuck is going to restrain me now? That's the chorus. It's a no-brainer. I'm going to be a bad bitch forever and evermore.
God.
And that's it. It's just me telling myself to just, like, pick myself up by the bootstraps and chill the fuck out and stop crying, you fucking emo bitch.
Sometimes it's super great to cry loads, and then when you get to that point where you're like, no more, sir!
Yeah, yeah.
Not today,
my
Satan.
My favorite thing is crying myself to sleep.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like... yeah, and then you wake up and you look like absolute shit because your whole face puffs.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I tell you, the other day I googled how to stop my face from puffing when you go to bed crying. I googled that because I went to bed crying. And I was panicking that I was going to have a puff face. Guess what? I fucking had a puff face. There was nothing I could do about it.
But sometimes it's quite cool.
Yeah,
like, it looks really nice.
If you're wondering, I have been crying.
I cry a lot in public too. On the bus, I cry a lot.
I talk to people who cry in public, so be careful. Yeah, I'm the person who goes up and goes, are you okay? And they're like, fuck off!
Oh, I'm the person who's like, actually, I'm having a really bad day. If you could just sit with me for a few hours and talk to me about it.
Well, if only we'd met in the street on the bus while this was happening.
Yeah, well, I mean, we can if you want. We can
let's just go now. Yeah. Every time you need to cry, just text me.
Yeah.
I'll meet you on the 154 and we'll go and have a ride. Also, I've forgotten to mention Girly, who you've worked with before. She's a babe. You came in on her takeover, right?
She is a babe. I did indeed.
She's been on the show a few times and you did the remix of Not the Girl. And basically, I love her. And I just wanted to say she's great also.
She's good. She's important for the culture.
Yeah, and I think you guys should do more songs together.
Yeah, I agree. We should, actually. I will text her that now.
Well, you're welcome. I will take 10%.
All right.
Who in the UK are you looking at? Like, is there anyone while you've been here that you've met that you're like, wow, they're amazing and I want to lick their butt, or I maybe want to make a song with them?
Oh, lick their butt. Everyone? I don't know. Whose butt do I want to lick?
You don't have to lick their butt, you could just make music with them.
Okay, I really like Slow Tie.
Yes.
He's good. I like him.
I feel like you two would be literally perfect on a song together.
Yeah, I'd really love to make music with him. Who else do I like? You know when people ask you something and you've forgotten everything?
Yes, you forget everything that's ever happened.
I like Octavian.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Just to be clear.
Oh, man. The funny thing is that the music world is small, and I just said I wanted to lick Octavian's butt fuck. Anyways.
Butt fuck? What?
Those were separate. Those are separate words.
It's okay. I'll make sure that he doesn't hear this until...
Those are separate words. Anyways, who would I want to work with? I really love MIA forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever.
She's been on the show.
Oh, I love her.
I cried afterwards.
I love her.
And then I had puffy eyes because she was so cool. I cried. I'm not joking.
I got invited to her documentary premiere and I cried beforehand because it was too much for me.
Did you go?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to be like, I cried and I couldn't go.
No. I went and I was so emotional. I was like, I cannot believe, like, 12-year-old me would have actually had a heart attack if she had known that I would have been invited to her premiere. I honestly love... She's the... Bucky Dungun is the first song that I downloaded on my iPod Nano when I was 11. and I love her so much.
She's incredible. That song also is a timeless classic. Mm-hmm. She came in here wearing thigh-high red leather boots and...
kill me.
Yeah, it was quite an experience,
murder
to say
me.
The least.
I love that.
Yeah, I cried. Oh my God, they're talking about whispering and the producers are telling me about whispering.
What?
Oh, whisper chocolate bars. I don't know what she's talking about. She's telling things in my ear that secret things about whisper chocolate bars.
What?
Are you doing ASMR again? tell me what the next week is for you, because you're going to celebrate tomorrow. What happens?
This is the big stress because I usually have a house party.
Oh, sorry. She just explained it. MIA ordered a whisper bar.
Oh.
When she came in, that was the one thing that she wanted. It's like pure dairy milk chocolate. It's like one of the best chocolate bars in the world. Okay. Sorry, carry on. What's the big thing?
I'm only going to eat that for the rest
of my
life.
Well, I think that's what I was telling you, so that you know for future. Carry one round with you. Go up to her.
Yeah.
Boom.
Do you want this?
Yeah.
I just had this in my bag. Do you want it? And I'll open my bag and there'll be 8,000 of them.
And they're all like slightly squashed because they've been in there for like 2 years.
Yeah, because I've just been waiting for the moment when I run into her and can give her a chocolate bar. What were we saying?
You were telling me about the big stress.
Oh, yeah, the big stress. I usually have a house party for all my releases, but last house party was a little bit stressful.
What happened?
It was just messy. Someone fucked in my bathroom.
I really didn't know that was what you were going to say. They had sex?
Yeah, the intercourse.
They had intercourse in your bathroom.
Yeah.
Why was that so bad?
I mean, it's not... It was just messy.
And you were like, actually, that's where I go to the loo.
Yeah, that's where I take a shit.
Yeah.
That's my holy space.
Yeah, actually, I totally get you now.
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't really into it. It just stressed me out. And then now it's tomorrow and I'm like, I should be celebrating because it's my release. But also, like, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'll go out for dinner. I don't know.
You know, you can have like a low key best night of your life just drinking on your own, because I love that sometimes.
I might do that.
Just get some takeaway.
Yeah.
Get a fucking Netflix on.
Yeah.
Maybe lick someone's butt and then cheers to that.
I haven't licked a butt in quite some time.
Well, listen, I just can't stop saying it because, as I told you, you sung it and now I want to say it all the time. because I think you don't need to do that, because, as you say, having a party is one of the most stressful things in the world, because you see people touching stuff and you're like, I don't want to seem like a dick, but don't pick that up.
Yeah, I don't want to seem like a dick, but if you do that again, I'll cut your fingers off.
Exactly, you know that. I mean? Exactly. Yeah. You don't want to be that person that's to cut people's fingers off at a party, because it will kill the vibe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to let you go now. It's been wonderful to have you here.
It has been wonderful.
No Brainer is brilliant. This EP is brilliant. Unlikable EP is out tomorrow. And you're going to Netflix and chill.
Yeah.
To celebrate. Maybe not.
I think I'm actually going to go out for crab legs.
That's crab legs?
Yeah.
Do you mean crab's claws?
All of it.
Just because the legs are quite thin, that's all.
I'm just going to have lots of...
Crab.
Just some seafood. I don't know. I'm just going to eat some food.
Get some oysters because they're very lavish.
Yes.
Yeah. Celebrate with some oysters. Can you introduce No Brainer for us, please?
Oh my God. Shall I use my radio voice?
Yes. Use your ASMR immediately. Yes.
What should I say?
I guess just introduce the track and your name and then tell.
Hi guys, I'm Ashnika on FUBAR Radio. My EP, Unlikable, comes out tomorrow. This is the single No Brainer. I hope you guys are ready.
Because you wanna say you done it. Now you're mixing with the greatest, laughing ha 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 ha. Now you're laced with all the latest. Now it's not. He's a ride or die, I ride his face forever. Flip me over, I like all types of pressure. Tippy toppy, tip me over. Now it's oh my God. Future brighter, like it's solar. Now it's always summertime. Tell me what you need. Tell it to my manager. He'll tell you pay a fee. I fuck it up, I can't wait for you to see. You said your girlfriend wanted to marry you, but now she's here with me.
Overseas welcome to Wafia, joining us all the way from Brisbane.
Yes.
Is that right? Brisbane?
Yeah, that's it.
What's Brisbane like? I've never been to Australia, so
it's
I don't know.
A huge, like, suburban, very suburban.
Oh, really?
Like, I live out in the suburbs, and my inner city friends make fun of me, but that's, like, 15 minutes away from the city.
Oh, really? Yeah. Is it quite, like, a burby area?
Yeah, yeah. Very so much. Houses, a lot of houses on stilts, because it floods.
That's weird.
Yeah, yeah.
That's super weird.
Yeah.
But also into it, you know? You've got to prevent that flooding situation. You don't want to have wet feet.
No.
Get some stilts on that house.
Yeah.
Any kind of house with stilts, though, bit of a panic situation, isn't it? It's like, oh, my house is built on stilts.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember my parents, whenever they would, like, look at moving into a new property or whatever, there's, like, records you can see of where, if the house had ever flooded prior.
It's like 100 floods.
Yeah. So they, like, avoided that. So now our house... We moved into a new house that doesn't have stilts, so no flooding.
But does it work like this? So it's like a good one is like 0 to 20 floods. It's like it's not like no floods at all. It's like, oh, it's had less than 20, so it should be fine.
Maybe. I don't know how they're categorizing it, but yeah.
Is it the sea flooding or am I being stupid? Like, how does it flood?
It's flash flooding. It's like from the rain.
So loads of rain.
It's I mean, I would compare it to the equivalent of like how it rains in Florida at like 4 p.m. every day, you know, like that kind of thing. It's so tropical that it just the heat kind of breaks and then it just like rains like crazy for like days on end. And that's then.
Are you a watery person? Is this like, do you know what I mean? Like, I love swimming, so I'm quite a watery.
Yeah, so, I love the beach.
So, but you can, I guess you maybe spend a lot of time at the beach when it's raining in the sea. Because that's quite cool in the sea in the rain.
Not really, because then, like, especially around the coast of Australia, it gets quite like, storms happen very quickly.
And there's sharks in the water, so why would you get in there anyway?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm, and then lifeguards probably won't be out there, so you're on your own.
Definitely not.
No.
Zero attendance from me there. Between the spiders and the sharks, I don't know how I'm going to get to Australia.
I really haven't seen that many spiders in Australia, and I've lived there for a minute now.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if I believe you.
I swear to God.
Tell me a little bit about, because you said, as you say, you haven't actually lived there all your life. You were born in the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yes.
Whereabouts?
Groningen.
Wow.
Which is up north.
Okay. And then when did you move to Australia?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that happened in between. But essentially, we lived in the Netherlands till I was like not even a year old. And then my parents just moved all around Europe. So we lived in France, Germany and everything for a bit.
Wow.
Then my parents moved to Montreal.
Okay.
In Canada.
Good place.
Very beautiful place.
Love it there.
And then I think from there they moved to New Zealand. Mm-hmm. So my citizenship is actually New Zealand. I'm not actually an Australian citizen. And then we moved to Sydney for like 2 weeks. And then my parents were like, let's go back to the Netherlands. And then we moved back to...
Oh my God, this is serious.
Yeah, and then we moved back to Australia, but we lived in South Australia. And then one day my mum was like, I really like... the idea of Queensland and surf, like the Gold Coast.
And you were like, Mom, I need to stay somewhere.
Well, this coincided with me going into high school and my parents were like, okay, well, we should probably stop now.
Yeah. Okay, let's stop. And now you're settled in Brisbane.
Yeah.
I wanted to touch on, because I know it's a little minute since you released Bodies, but it's such a beautiful song.
Thank you.
And based on such an intense personal experience that you had, because your Syria-based family were denied asylum refugee visas in Australia. Mm-hmm. Now that in itself, and I know you've discussed it a lot, so we don't need to spend too long, depending on how you feel about it, because I know it must be a really still very horrendous topic for you. Yeah. But I just wanted to thank you, number one, for the song, because I think it's really beautiful. And from what I've seen on Twitter still now, and your fans interacting with you, it really resonates with people of that heritage who can see you as a person that's speaking for them, mm-hmm. in a way. Is that something you perceived happening from it, or did you know that it would have that impact, or did you just kind of put it out?
I kind of just put it out. Mm-hmm. I think when we were writing it, there wasn't even like the intention, because it just sounded so pop, yeah. in the moment. And I was, yeah. like, I don't know how I feel about this. And I just sent it to my parents, and my parents loved it. And then I sent it to my managers, and my managers really liked it. I was like, okay, maybe this song, yeah, it could come out. And that could be, I think even though the song sounds so pop, the topic of discussion is what really grounds it. And I was like, this has to come out, because to me, it's such a clever song in itself, mm-hmm. outside of the topic. And I just think that warrants a release.
Yeah. And I think also you can take it to mean whatever you, it's indirect, mm-hmm. and also poppy, but also giving a really, really massive important point, which if you want to look into it and you want to work, you know, you actually want to learn, yeah. things, you can do with it. And that's the kind of nice, it's got a couple of sides to it, which makes it great pop music.
Well, that's how I try to approach it, I guess. Like, I'm never trying to be a pseudo-intellectual about, like, what I write, you know? And, like, yeah. be like, oh, well, you don't know about what's happening in Syria. That makes you dumb. It's like, no, like, let's talk about it, yeah. in a really, like, easy, accessible way. And whether you choose to subscribe to the message or not, it's still there. And that, to me, is the point of art, because I'm creating it for myself. And mm-hmm. whatever happens after that is a byproduct. Mm. So whatever happened with Bodies is a byproduct of that song, and I'm really proud of it.
Yeah, you should be. And I just still see all the comments and stuff on the video and everything that people really resonate with it. Mm-hmm. So that's a really great thing. And then also we've got I'm Good, which is your latest release, which I love.
Thank you.
Another very feel-good song about something really kind of shit. But yeah. what I love most about it is that it's really powerful. I love the lyric, "This song ain't even about you, I'm good." It's like, it's a song about someone that's not about someone. Like, in a way that, you know, I bet you wish this song is about you. It's kind of like, yeah. that. It's like, this song isn't about you. It's about how great I feel.
Yeah.
But you happen to feature as a subject matter within the song. That's
You're
very
a supporting
powerful.
Character at best.
Yeah. You don't even get named in the titles at the beginning, like, because you're not really a big deal in the song. The video's beautiful. Shot all in one at sunset, mm-hmm. as if you wanted to make your life any harder.
I know, on film too.
Yeah, but beautifully. Like, was it one take?
Yeah, I swear to God,
oh
no
my
cuts.
God. I'm really surprised that you didn't have to do like three or four of the same, because the energy is very natural in it.
I think it just, like, that was the one where as soon as we did it, everyone was like, well, that's it. You know, that's the one.
Imagine if they'd been like, and three more times, if you wouldn't mind. Just recreate that exact energy again. It's a really pretty, it's shot in LA, right? Mm-hmm. You do a lot of writing and
that's right, yeah.
working in LA. And you have great teams. You work with a lot of great writers. Co-written with Rabel. Is that the right way to pronounce it? And John Hill, and obviously released with your label Future Classic. Is there a specific way you go about writing with people? Is there specific people you write with, or do you go into sessions with lots of different people?
I think at the beginning it was a lot of different people, just so that I could get a feel for it and learn other people as well. Mm. And then from there, I've been more selective about who I work with, and now it's like just literally a handful of people that I really love.
Yeah.
And I know that every time I go in there, we're going to create something that at least challenges us creatively, mm-hmm. as opposed to just making like your generic cut copy,
yeah.
kind of song.
And this track, it's very feel good. Like, it really makes me feel good, even though I haven't gone through a breakup. I'm like, I vibe with it as a woman.
Yeah.
It's very sort of empowering, and it's juxtaposed with this very normal thing that you're doing in the video. You're just having a little walk around, kind of seeing your friends, bumping into people. It's you released it as part, well, sort of as a little bit of a celebration of the world tour that you're on right now.
Yes.
which is Are You Okay, Hun? Because that is, it's quite an intense tour.
I'm so fine. Yeah, I just wrapped up the Australian one about a week and a half ago.
Yep.
So I've had like
a little
week
break.
A little bit of downtime.
And then you're playing tonight, aren't you, in London?
Yeah, the Pickle Factory.
Which is, are you excited? Have you played in London before?
I have, but this is my first headline.
Yeah, so it's big time.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Pickle Factory is a great venue to start your first headline. Like, really, really, like, nice place to play. A lot of up-and-coming artists play there. Mm. What are we like? Are we okay, English audiences? Because I know...
I mean, like I said, in the past, it's always been, like, I've been a supporting act or, like, a feature act in someone's set.
Yeah.
So I feel like... I'm excited to see what, like, my crowds kind of look like in London. I mean, what I love about London is just how diverse it is.
Yeah.
So just, like, looking out in the crowd. And I know that there's a lot of cities in the world that do that, but for me, London and Toronto really stick out as very diverse, multicultural cities. And that, to me, is always the most exciting part about doing shows, particularly places I haven't been before. Just I get to sort of see who comes out to the shows and what they look like, and yeah.
And it's kind of a really nice celebration of a really exciting year that you've had, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It's really nice to come back here and celebrate that.
And how do you feel when you perform live? It's obviously different every time, but do you still get nervous and...
I try to tell myself my nerves are proof that I care. You know what I mean? So, like, if I don't get nervous, sometimes it feels wrong. And then that makes me anxious, which then in turn makes me nervous.
Okay.
But I think for the most part, I always get nervous. I mean, the nerves have, like, definitely more containable now.
And you're also going to be performing with Louis the Child as well.
Yeah, Louis the Child.
Oh, it's Louis the Child, sorry. Better Not was massive. Banger. I mean, over 52 million streams. Everybody went nuts for it. Are you kind of looking forward to that part of the tour more or less than your headline? Because I know it's a bit weird because it's like performing with someone else. You kind of have that crutch and that excitement of discovering new fans for your music. Whereas your tour is like your fans. Is there like a different feeling for either of them?
I think it's definitely, they're very different experiences. I think headline shows are always special because you get to curate the entire night.
Yeah.
But it's always such a pleasure to jump into what someone else is curating, you know. And especially because we have a song out together, I get to come out and perform Better Not as well in their set. So it feels like I'm being invited along... to a bigger part of the night as opposed to just like supporting and then hopping off.
And how did that all come about? How did you get together with them to create this banger?
Well, Robbie, there are two guys in the Louis the Child, Robbie and Freddie, and Robbie is housemates with my executive producer, Roger Shahayat.
Okay.
And so I was just in that studio every day anyway, you know, just like hanging out with the guys or like making music with them. And then we just had the idea to just book a studio one day and write it, and that was the day that we wrote Better Not, but also the day that I met Rabel as well. So then that was pretty special, like, because Rabel is a big part of the project now, and I think so are Louis the Child, actually. Like, they're working on a different song for me right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And Rabel, of course, has worked with rewind, didn't hear that. That's okay, because, you know, you're allowed to say
friends,
you know, we're all friends here. Everyone won't tell anyone, will you? Rabel's worked with, obviously, Ellie Goulding, Adam Lambert, loads of great people. Is there a specific thing you look for when you work with a co-writer or with a producer that, like, are you inspired by other artists and you think, oh, I'd love to work with that person because I know they've produced for them or they've written for them?
That's always a good starting point, I guess, but it's never the defining point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think... I've noticed a common thread between me and, like, other songwriters that I've worked with in the past, and it's that they all kind of have singer-songwritery country-esque roots.
Okay.
And I think I'm really inspired by that as well. And, like, that's my beginnings as well, as just, like, on a guitar. So I think that's the commonality between all of them, really, is just good songwriting.
Yeah.
And, like,
being good at their jobs is basically the top.
And also dope people. You know what I mean? Like, I have to sit in a room with you for, like,
so
6 hours.
So awkward if you don't like them.
I have to like you. Yeah.
Do you know straight away when you get in a studio, you're like, oh, my God, this person's... Yeah.
That's... I've never proven wrong. And I can tell as well, like, right away, like, after I, like, stalk them a little bit on Instagram,
If
it's going to work or not. I mean, I don't think I've ever been pleasantly surprised, but, yeah.
That's the thing, though, is it? Because it's quite an intimate... It's like basically like going to therapy with a different person every week or every day sometimes for a week, and you have to just, in that moment, you have to connect with them from nothing to everything within a second.
Totally. And I think if I was writing from a place that was not personal experience and I was like able to craft up these incredible, like, sort of scenarios in my head and write a song about that, maybe it'd be different. You know, it'd be a little less personal.
Mm.
But I can't do that. I can only write what I know. And so, like, I have to really open up to these people. So I have to like you on a personal level.
And I'm good in terms of opening up. That's a very personal song. But was it based on a heartbreak or was it based on... So it was based on someone that you needed. And did you feel like that cathartic goodbye afterwards?
Honestly, it was more an impending breakup that I saw, and I was like, I need to write a song about how I want to feel after this.
Okay.
So yeah, that was actually how that came about, and it all started with like the bass line, and I was like, this needs to be a breakup song like right now.
Yeah. So basically you preeminated breaking up with someone with this track.
I preeminated rather than breaking up with me.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. I just felt it coming.
And did it happen the way you thought it was gonna happen?
To some degree, yeah.
But amazing that you were able to get over it before it even happened.
I don't know that I got over it. It was like my first heartbreak as well. So I was just
shit.
Like, oh, I was like looking at people dealing with their daily lives and going, how are you functioning? Like, we've all dealt through heartbreak. Like, I was looking at people, how are you here right now? You know what I mean? Like, you've experienced so much heartbreak in your life, and we're going to see so much grief in our life too. How are we all functioning?
Just so you know, it gets worse after the first one. The first one is bad, but it's the more and more you love people, it's worse. God, I hate people, man. They're the worst. But that's a beautiful way to kind of put it out there into the universe as well. It's like, oh, I just want to get rid of it. Before it's even happened. And then when you do have to deal with it, you're just dealing with the sort of nuts and bolts of it straight down the line.
Well, it's so funny because, like, the breakup happened kind of in between the song being written and the song being released. And so I was, like, really living it in real time. And, like, and at first I really didn't want to hear the song. Like, you know what I mean? I was like, I'm not ready for this. And then by the time it came out, I really was.
Did they know it was about them?
Yeah.
Pretty obvious,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Literally the moment. Like, this, like, not as obvious as Ariana Grande, because that was the,
oh
like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was intense.
Thank you, Nicks.
Yeah,
oh
like,
my gosh.
Good for her. Do it, babe. Like, and also very respectful, I felt, as a song.
I loved it.
I like her vibe, though. It's just like someone tweeted being like, 10 minutes before SNL starts, you drop Thank You Bye. And I was like, that's awkward. But do you have to think about that when you're making music? Like, oh shit, do they know that this is about them?
Definitely want them to know it's about
them. Yeah,
it's just like, I think I even, oh my gosh, I wrote a song called Heartburn a bunch of years ago, and it released, and it was like my first proper debut single, and I'm definitely told him in like the Facebook comments that this song is about him. And I don't know why I did that, but I just like felt very spiteful that day.
Yeah, but sometimes you kind of want that. It's like when people put like a really passag Instagram up, you know, and it's like, feeling fine, you twat. Like, you know, and you're pointedly doing it at someone. People do it all the time. Yeah. It kind of just gets a bit of relief out of you, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And you do it to songs for millions of people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, each to their own.
I mean, it feels a lot more like selfish for me because I like actually get something pretty cool at the end of it, you know?
And so do we. So thank you from both of us.
Thank you.
It's only the person it's about. I mean, even they probably quite enjoy the...
Definitely an ego boost.
I would love it. Because I was talking about this on the show recently. Like, would you mind if someone released a bitchy song about me? And I was like, if it's a song about me, not really. Because it'd be quite sick to be like, oh, that's about me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Even if it was hateful, it's still just like...
Oh, you're thinking about me, are you, hun?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've been back in the studio ever since that Better Not released and working on... What's happening next? Are we allowed to know if any more things are dropping this year? Or?
I'm hoping for the top of the year, I think.
Because you need to get this tour...
out the way.
Yeah. But you're back in the studio while you're touring, or do you keep it very separate?
I think potentially I just don't have a lot of time in between the shows.
Mm.
I know that I have like maybe 3 days in LA, maybe look into a session there, but like right now
more just, sleeping.
Yeah. And then also I think like a lot of people are just like going home to their families for the year and everyone that I work with. So it's okay. I did a lot this year.
Yeah, you can. You're okay, hun. You can definitely chill for a minute. Because I know some artists are a bit like they're just either they can't work on new music when they're touring, or they have to, or it's just different for every artist, isn't it? Because for some it's a release, and for some it's like too much headspace is taken up.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty malleable. Like if I have to do it because I know that there's a deadline, I would 100% do it. Like it just there's no choice there.
And in this tour, you're obviously off to North America next, mm-hmm. after the Europe, because you're, I think you're going to Paris and
Amsterdam.
You're off to all over America. Then do you get homesick? Are you going home soon after that?
Yes, or? I go home for like a couple of days and then go see my friends down in Melbourne as well, because all my friends live down there. So,
and is the music scene quite good
in Australia?
To go out, like in your personal opinion, like, do you go out to gigs a lot?
I don't. Okay. This is what I equate to going to gigs. Like, it's like if you came to the studio in your time off to record a show. That, you know what I mean?
It's weird.
It's like if you worked in.
I barely come to the studio to do my job, let alone come on my time off. So I totally get you, babe.
Yeah, I just feel like, you know, you wouldn't go to an office job after hours. And there are certain shows. Like the last show I think was Kesha.
Oh my God! Yes.
I love that. I really don't know a lot of Kesha songs, but then she came out there and I was like, I think I'm the biggest Kesha fan in the world.
I really want you to do a collab with Kesha now.
Oh, please.
Please. That would be incredible, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
it's
you
such
for
a pleasure.
Me.
I'm so pleased that we managed to get you while you're in the UK, because I know you're here for like literally a day.
Mm-hmm.
But good luck tonight. I hope it goes well. I hope we look after you, the English. I'm sure we are quite a leery crowd, I think. So,
sorry, what does Larry mean?
Larry's like bit like my personality.
Okay.
So quite like in your face, loud, jumpy aroundy.
Okay.
So fingers crossed that we bring our Larry selves tonight.
Please, bring your Larry sides.
We're like going to play I'm Good now. Can you introduce it for us?
Yes. Hi, my name is Wafia and this is I'm Good on FUBAR Radio.
Woo! I'm good with my baby, better be.
So young, I was so dumb when I gave you my heart. Think you're so mean, think you're so clean in your old classic car. But honestly, looks can be deceiving, you look good from afar. But when you're up close, you're a loser and you lower the bar. Ooh, finally got back everything I gave to you.
up? This is Will I Am, and you're listening to Harriet Rose on FUBAR Radio.
I think of you like I think of getting away from the city on summer days when I lost your face in the summer haze. So tell me how you feel. Do you do it all deliberately? Or did you want me to chase you so you could get gratification? Happens always. No one told me. I would forfeit you like I did last night when you left. Oh Delilah, I've been drinking, I've been thinking, I go missing. No one else has been over here. Oh Delilah, I've been drinking, I've been thinking, I go missing. No one else has been over here. In about 7 days. Peace of mind will set me right now. Peace of mind is just another part of me and my style. Peace of mind will help me sleep at night. Peace of mind will complete me, yeah. So tell me how you feel. Did you do it all deliberately? Or did you want me to chase you so you could get gratification? Happens always. I've been thinking, I go missing. No one else has been over here. Oh Delilah, I've been drinking, I've been thinking, I go missing. No one else has been over here. In about 7 days.
From Manchester, Toby Sunmola's here.
Harriet, how are you doing?
I'm really good. I'm happy that you've come and you've had a little pint. Mm-hmm. You've got yourself ready because there's a nice little pub downstairs.
Oh, that's amazing.
You're warmed up.
Yeah.
Because you come all the way from Manchester today.
I have.
Which is what? Like, it's not too bad, but a little minute of travel.
It's like 2 hours. Not too far away, you know.
And you're here to come and chat to us.
Yeah.
Because you're coming back.
I am.
Very, very soon. You're coming back to the Servants Jazz Quarters, which is, by the way, I don't know if you've been to the venue yet. It's an awesome venue.
Is it? I'm looking forward to it.
Really cool. On the 20th of November.
That's correct.
How are you feeling? I mean, are you kind of just, you desperate to do them, or are you like ready for the kind of couple of weeks you've got to prepare?
You know, I just want it to be an experience for people more than anything. That's all I'm thinking about. It's not about me. It's about people. It's about 30 years from now and the memory people have of that, those nights, you know.
And how are you going to achieve that? Like, what are you bringing to that night to kind of... Is there something special that you bring to a live set?
Oh, I'm bringing the whole show. I'm bringing visuals. I'm bringing, like, everything that I'm about. Like, I'm inspired by movies. I'm inspired by sets. I'm, like, when I grew up, I used to be involved in a lot of dramas and school plays and stuff. So.
Oh, my God. What?
Yeah.
Stop, drop, and roll. We need to hang on to that for a second. What plays were you in?
None of them you'd know.
Oh, no. None tell me you know. Were, like, in Bugsy Malone or something.
Bugsy Malone? Yeah. No, no.
This is serious drama, no. Is it?
Serious drama, though.
This is like EastEnders drama, is it?
Kind of, but traditional Nigerian stuff, because I was born in Nigeria, yeah.
Okay, I thought you were going to, because I basically used to be in plays like Oliver. Oh, so you're coming at me with like intellectual plays.
We did have Oliver as well, though. Okay. Oliver Twist. We did have that too.
But I thought you were going to be like, oh, it was all a bit, you know, a bit of fun, but you were actually doing serious acting and stuff.
Kind of. It was serious to me.
That's incredible. Yeah. But did that give you like a big base for your stage performance and how you kind of project yourself on? Because I guess it's acting in a way.
Yeah, it is. I think so. Subconsciously, I think so. It's not something I think about, but I feel like my experiences over time have just built me into who I am today. So.
Because you grew up in Nigeria till you were 16 and then moved to Manchester.
That's correct, yeah.
In terms of musically, Nigeria is very rich in its music and its kind of cultural links to music and sound.
Yeah.
How have you felt the dynamic of Manchester and Nigeria have culminated in the imprint it's made on your music?
So, like, let me just start off by saying, when I was in Nigeria, I was making music in school. Yeah, I was in a group with 8 of my friends, right?
Oh, that's so cute.
We used to skip school. Don't do that, kids. We used to skip school some days and go to studio, which was like 2 hours away.
Wow.
So imagine like 8 boys in one taxi to studio. I used to save. I didn't get a lot of money from my mom, so I used to save up my little lunch money, not eat for like 2 weeks. Don't do that, kids. And get to studio. And to be honest, it was one of them where wherever our money took us to, we'd have to get off and walk the rest. So I feel like those energies have just made me into who I am today. And
that passion and that kind passion. Of drive.
Yeah. And then moving to Manchester was like a new experience for me. It was that, but it was more of the music and appreciating the different cultures and people. You know, because obviously being born in Nigeria, you only see one type of people. But when you move somewhere else and you see different people you see on TV, you know, for me, at a time was an experience, and it allowed me to open myself to a new world of opportunities and
an exciting hub for music as well. It's 100%. Got a thriving music scene, even like now especially, but
100%.
You know, for the last 50 years it's been
the home of music quietly, though. Like, we've had our great times, like, you know, Stone Roses and so on and so forth, Oasis. I feel like we've just had those times where it's been moments, and we're about to get a moment again.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of incredible hip-hop coming out of the north of the UK at the moment.
Yeah.
Nottingham, Manchester, Leeds.
Yeah.
And I think it's a time where artists from those areas can come and make hip-hop. Because, you know, obviously that there's that stigma of, like, specifically, I guess, grime I'm speaking about now. But out of London, can you make it when it's out of where it was originally created? And yes, you can. And that's an exciting part of it, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Did you find that it was more difficult because you weren't based in London to get your music heard? Or did it not make any difference to you?
It's always difficult. I mean, yeah, it is. It is, because obviously this is where, like, London is where the labels are. This is where the industry is. This is the industry. But you see, there's a blessing and a curse in all these things. Like, the blessing for us is, in Manchester, we are so raw because we don't have no industry to tell us what to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that make sense? So we made our own sound. Individually, we all sound different, but we're incredible and different to what London is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and you're bringing something new, and I think that's exciting as well. And you're an independent artist.
I am.
You distribute through Ditto, that right?
Yeah,
who distribute for like Chance the Rapper, Ed Sheeran, Stormzy, Dave.
Yeah.
Because I think it's something like £20 a year.
Yeah, that cheap, isn't it? Crazy.
But also, was created by two lads in Birmingham who saw an opportunity.
I didn't know that. That's sick.
Two lads in Birmingham saw an opportunity and were like, well, this is where music is going, so we're going to make it.
That's sick.
And I think it's an interesting decision, because you can go one way, you can go the other, but you made it quite deliberately, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Because you didn't want to sign to a label. I guess you wanted your own mind space? Or?
You know what? I wouldn't say that. I mean, obviously, for people listening, it took a while for me to get there, because there was a time where I was sat with labels and, you know, I was looking for approval. And you get to a point in your career and you realize, especially with the times we're in now, I think that just made me understand, like, the power's in our hands. Like, it's in the people's hands, and we've got a direct contact to the people now. So really and truly, if I'm signing with a label, you have to offer me something more than what I can do myself.
Yeah, and I think that's the resonating fact, isn't it? Because if you can't get something wildly differing from what you can create for yourself, what's the point?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, if you haven't realised that Toby is willing to go anywhere for music and give everything, then you should know that the Be My Lover video, if you haven't checked it out, it involves Toby in the sea, quite aggressive
aggressive
whilst playing the piano. Very stunning video,
waves slapping my neck back lot.
And you looked actually fairly calm.
I was calm,
considering, but tell us the real fact behind the video about your swimming technique.
So, swimming techniques. Right, guys. So, basically, I shot this video, jumped in the sea with the piano. I know there's safety hazards and things, there's procedures and things we should do. But to be honest, I can't swim. Well, I can, but I can't swim in the deep end, and I'm scared of the deep end. But for some reason, for this video, I wasn't scared. And
you were ready to take it to the next level, basically.
I was.
Risking your actual life.
I was risking my life. And it's crazy. I only think of it now. Like, now I reflect and think, why wasn't I scared? But then it was just like, I'm just doing this because this is what I want to do. This is art. And I appreciate the fact that I'm doing this. I appreciate it for myself, and I hope people appreciate it too.
I think it really represented the juxtaposition of your style and your production and what you're making. Because you're making, basically, not putting a label on it, but this is what a lot of people say about your music, alternative hip hop. But I just saw it as a real definition of what you're making, because I don't know why, but when I watched it, it felt like absolutely perfect for that song.
Yeah, that's amazing.
The EP, Good Guys Don't Survive, 6 tracks. Yeah. Be My Lover is the lead single. But all the tracks are so different. Production, lyrically, and I was just saying to you a minute ago that there's sort of a Game Boy vibe I just wanted to know where you get your inspiration to, because Mexico sounds, we were discussing, it's got the Game Boy type sounds in it, and then I found that Not the One, I felt like a bit of a Kanye West like a beefy, like bassy production on that, and that kind of like stringed through to another couple of songs as well, but everything was different, and I wanted to know where that came from.
What my inspiration comes from. I think for me, I'm inspired by movies, I'm inspired by moments in my life, like I'm inspired by specific moments. I don't remember those moments exactly, but I remember pictures of those moments. Does that make sense? Like, I don't remember, like, there's only certain things I remember, like watching Michael Jackson's movie. I can't remember what it was called, but the Thriller movie, and you know, just specific moments of me growing up and things I didn't, probably I didn't appreciate growing up, but they've stuck with me. And you know, those moments transcend through the music, because I have to delve deeper into myself to make music. So I find pieces of me that I thought was lost, and you know, it just comes out in the music, and I can't really explain why or how, but I just know it's a part of me, and you know, it makes me feel, it's liberating almost, it's free, like, you know,
it's very soulful as well in sort of essence, like I felt a lot of soul, you know, almost, it's not a ballad, but in a way it's a ballad, but it's a hip-hop ballad,
it's a movie,
it's a film. It really resonated with me.
Appreciate that, thank you.
And it, as did the whole EP, but I just found it so interesting that every song I listened to was so different.
Thank you.
A little journey that you took us on.
It is a journey, yeah. And most of the songs were written in different spaces as well. Like I went to Nigeria in February for like 2 weeks, and Not the One was actually finished in Nigeria.
Okay.
I started in my friend's house in London, and then went to Nigeria, and it just made sense to me to finish it, you know. And most of the other songs kind of came from that experience in Nigeria, and going back home after like 8 years.
Yeah, because that must have been pretty crazy to go home after 8 years.
It was crazy. Like, as soon as I moved, I felt like I was running. Imagine running with a blindfold, right? And you've run so far, and you take off the blindfold, and you're like, fuck, I've run this far, you know. And for me, that's what that was. Like, I was running, took it off, and realized, shit, like, a lot of friends I had are not here anymore. Yeah. Like, you know, I haven't been around family as much. I'm just, you know, I'm just running. Like, is this what I'm meant to be doing? Is this? And I lost that disconnect with what it means to be Nigerian and where I'm coming from and my history and, you know, growing up and just stuff. I just became a different person to the person I was in Nigeria. And that trip brought that back for me. You know, I started spending a lot more time with my Nigerian friends, people I grew up with. And for me, that just became, it made me whole again.
Yeah, because but 16 is such a seminal age.
Yeah,
like, I'm not surprised you split the two, because like you kind of do become a different person at 16, don't you? It's like puberty and all those changes, and then like you move to a different country, and it's like
and you want to fit in. Like, you got to remember as well, like, there was a time where being African wasn't cool. It is cool now, but like, there was a time when even like Caribbeans will make fun of you for being African. So, you know, me moving, I just wanted to be a different person. I wanted to just fit in. You know, I wanted to be cool with everyone, and I kind of lost myself in that. You know, I wanted to sound like certain people. I wanted to be like certain people. And you know what? I got to a point where when I went to Nigeria, it just brought me back to me. Nothing is more important than me being me.
And do you feel now that you have the balance between the two?
I'm getting there. The best is yet to come. I'm getting there.
I'm excited. Yeah. So you're back on the 20th.
I am.
Everyone who wants to come and see Toby at Servants Jazz Quarters, I'm assuming you can get tickets online.
You can get tickets online, Skiddle, Ticketweb, Dice, the lot.
Perfect.
Even on my website as well, tobysimola.co.uk. I made myself. So
nice. Yeah, man of many talents.
Well.
Yeah. Man of many talents. I love it. Well, I love Good Guys Don't Survive is available on all platforms. You can go and get it now. It's really nice. It's a really nice EP. I enjoyed listening to it. And I'm looking forward to hearing more from you, mate.
I'm looking forward to seeing you.
Yeah, I'm gonna come.
It's gonna be a sick experience. So
are you gonna be dropping any more music anytime soon, or do we need to hold tight for next year?
So I've got a couple of videos coming out this year.
Yes.
And I'm working on some new stuff. I've got about 40 beats ready to to touch. But I'm going away in a bit just to like live a little bit, but like
Have a minute.
Yeah, but I've got tracks ready to release. I'm always going to be here, always.
Crikey, I'm excited. Well, I'll see you on the 20th.
Yeah.
Can you introduce Be My Lover for me, babe?
So I go by the name of Toby Simola, and this is Be My Lover. Big up FUBA Radio. Pow.
Toby Simola, thank you so much to him for coming in. So lovely to see him. That's a lovely, lovely song as well. I really like him. Go and check him out. Thank you so much to all of our guests today. Moss Kenner, Ash Nico. Sadly, Alan Raymond wasn't very well, so he's going to join us another time later on in the year. But we're sending lots of love to him and hoping he feels better. Plus, thanks to Wafia and Tobias and Mola. Big day today, guys. Champion is next. This week, I'm giving it to Olivia Devine, otherwise known as Elle Devine. Kind of a funny story as to why she's not known as Olivia Devine. Apparently, there is a adult actress, movie star, that is called Olivia Devine. So she went with Elle Devine. She's from Newcastle, a little town called northeast town of Whitley Bay. She signed to Warner Brothers, and it happened. So she moved to London from Newcastle, and within 2 months she was signed with Warner's. But actually, originally she'd only come to be a songwriter, and to get a publishing deal was what she actually wanted originally. And Warner's picked her up for songwriting and as an artist herself. She makes pure pop. And it's brilliant and really expressive. The production is next level. And she's released her EP. It's all very exciting for her at the moment. If you haven't listened to her, I've played her quite a few times on the show. So I feel like you would have heard her before. But Peer Pressure's the mixtape EP that she's released. She's a really cool girl. I really like her vibe and what she's doing. She had a sort of launch party last week for the Peer Pressure EP. And it's just going really well. Everyone's very excited about her. Actually, interestingly, the track Peer Pressure... she worked with the song's producer Justin Raisin, subsequently played it to Charlie XCX just after she'd recorded it. Because as I said, she was originally a writer first and foremost, so she sold a lot of songs to other people, which is a great and lucrative way of sort of getting into the music industry. Charlie XCX actually heard the track. She got it played to her by Justin and she asked to record it. Which left Olivia really excited, very gassed that she got it recorded, but decided to keep the track for herself because she loved it so much. But she kind of has talked a bit about how exciting it is that she's got this, like, the only copy of a Charlie XCX version of the track, which I'm sure was incredible. And little fact for you, Charlie's auto-tuned harmonies are still running in the final cut of the track, so you can actually hear her in there. Emil Nava directed the short film, Peer Pressure film, you can find online now. Also, basically all of her music videos as well. Nervous was filmed in LA. You need to go and check that out. It's very, very good. Yeah, and it's just she's a really exciting person, I think, because it's kind of really natural from her because it hasn't come from a place of her always wanting to be an artist. It's kind of an accident that she has... So it kind of got to where she... By the way, Emil Nava, if you don't remember, he's the guy who got famous for shooting Jessie J's Do It Like a Dude. And he's worked with Post Malone, Rita Ora, J-Lo, Calvin Harris, Ed Sheeran, Dua Lipa. So just a small group of small-named musicians. So he's massive and kind of has tied together this EP with this short film and done all the music videos. And it really... I feel like there's something really beneficial about having the same person do all of your... music videos, because it kind of ties them all together and helps them link a bit more, I guess. But if you check out the Peer Pressure film, it kind of takes you through all that's going down in the EP, but with kind of monologues about how she felt like an outsider as she was growing up and a bit like an alien, and kind of like... The reason I think she's linked so well with people is because she talks quite openly about feeling like she doesn't fit in and that actually she would do anything just to fit in, which is an interesting kind of concept because I think everybody at some point has been there in their life where you kind of feel like, oh, I'm just going to do that because other people think I should. And I think even now, even when you're not at school and you're not in that environment where you think you definitely have to, you still kind of feel like you do have to. It's a bit of a weird mindset, but she's basically making angst pop and people are really relating to it. And you can catch a few of the... not the whole EP is on the movie, but it's really worth watching. She talks a lot about queer relationships and stuff as well. Gay Times, I know, have supported her really heavily because she's talked about quite openly about her sort of... queer nature and the fact that she has dated both girls and boys. In fact, the song I'm going to play, Daughter, is about falling in love with a girl, I believe. And it's just a really beautiful song. I think it's maybe my favourite on the EP, but also I wanted to play something that you guys might not have heard before. She's quite young, but she's definitely in control. You kind of would look at her and think maybe, I think in the music industry for women especially, it's really difficult to be in control because there's a lot of old, basically what the way it seems is there's a lot of older men, music industry men, kind of telling you how to feel. And she tells a bit of a story about when a male producer wandered into a writing session with her. And she was sort of talking about this situation, how he came in and said, I'm not really sure a young girl would say that. And she was like, well, yes, they would, because I've just written it and I'm a young girl. Like, that idea that somebody else can tell you how to feel and how to think as an artist. I mean, as a young girl, it'd be pretty scary to tell someone who essentially helps you make some of the biggest decisions in your musical career, basically tell them to fuck off and that you're going to do it the way you want to do it, which I really rate that. And if you like music videos as well, peer pressure is really, really good. She's done a few really good music videos, but I feel like she's just very honest and very open, and everything she's making, I mean, it's the actual level of production is insane. It's incredible. And I think you should go and check out the movie because it's really good. And before the end of the show, I'm going to play Daughter, as I said, which is, I'm going to say it's my favourite song, but I don't know. I don't know. It's hard to tell because I feel like it's maybe just the one that you guys haven't heard. So I'm feeling more inclined to kind of, I don't know, play it because you probably haven't heard it. But if you need to go and check it out. I really like the digestible level of this EP as well. It's very, the tracks all sync in with each other. They feel really well made, well produced. And I think she has a lot to do with the production. She's in there kind of every day. And if you like Heathers, and you're a fan of Heathers, there's a little Heathers quote, which I know producer Nat very much enjoyed when she heard. Which, by the way, led me to watch Heathers, which I've not seen before, which is bad because I love horror films and I can't believe I hadn't watched Heathers. By the way, Heathers is one of the best films that's ever been made. Despite, what's the girl called in it? You know what I'm talking about. She shoplifted. Winona Ryder. And the other guy with the floppy hair? Christian Slater. Oh, you're whispering. Christian Slater. And it's really good. It's about two people that just start murdering their classmates. And it's absolutely hilarious. So check that out. But it features a really famous quote from that, the sample. And it kind of makes you, it's in peer pressure. And it's, the whole of that film is about peer pressure. But yeah, she says here in an article that I'm just reading now, I got a guitar when I was like 7 or 8, and as soon as I got that, I just fell in love with it. And I think that is such a good way to start. If you can play the music instruments and you can... By the way, I got a guitar today. I got a guitar. Fender sent me a guitar, so maybe I'll be the next El Divine, Divine, however you pronounce it, however you want to pronounce it. That's how I feel like this is going. Basically, I'm doing this radio show to become a pop star like El Divine. That is my this week's champion. Big up to El Divine. Go and check out the Peer Pressure film. It's brilliant. It's only like 8 minutes long. It doesn't feature all of the tracks. It just features, I think, 4 out of the... But it's just a brilliant, brilliant... It features Peer Pressure, Read Your Mind, Nervous, Can't Be You, Daughter, and Running. Yes, it does have all the tracks in it. But it's actually... It must be shorter versions because it's only about an eight minute movie, but it's beautiful. And then you can watch all the individual videos as well. Big shout out to all the guests today. You can watch? You can listen again at www.fubarradio.com. And also, we'll be posting some videos from today as well. And thank you massively to all the artists, Moss Kenner, Ash Nico, Alan Raymond, hopefully we'll see you soon, Wafia, and Toby Sunmola, who was a total babe. Now I'm going to finish the show with Daughter. This is El Divine. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next same time, same place next week.
Her love for soft lips and rosy cheeks, only secret that she would keep till I saw her and she saw me. Every day meeting on the slide, told our friends and we told you lies, cause the world wasn't on our side. Well, it's hard enough losing our innocence, believe me, it's not easy, no. So say your words, trust me, your ignorance don't faze me, she's my baby. I'm in love with your daughter. Said what about kids on the
sure that we're apart. Not your life, but you'll get what you want. Here's the part where we run away. Me and her take the great escape. I don't care about a thing you say, no. Well, it's hard enough losing our innocence. Believe me, it's not easy, no. So say your worst. Trust me, your ignorance don't faze me. She's my baby girl. It goes against everything that you taught her. But I'm sorry, miss, I'm in love with your daughter. Said what about kids, all the hopes I had for her. Well, I'm sorry, miss, I'm in love with your daughter. Maybe this ain't what you really wanted, but I'm sorry, miss, I'm in love with your daughter. I know you wish that you hadn't caught her, but I'm sorry.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.